Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Previously.tv Podcast Network.
See, if I just don't get it, when did you become so homophobic?
I am not homophobic. You guys, I am not homophobic.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210. My, today's episode is Season 4, Episode 26, Blind Spot. And now, here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Tara and Dave.
Are you ready to talk about some early 90s vintage homophobia?
Yes!
Not sure. Let's do it and find out.
Okay. First Insight Business, David.
David!
So let's see. We got shirts on Glarkware.com, not only pertaining to this podcast, but just some generally nice shirts for you to enjoy. It's a nice way to support this podcast and the site while covering your upper naughty bits. And what else we got? We got ads on this very podcast and on Extra Hot Great, our sister podcast on the network. You go to previously.tv/ads. There is a form there for you to fill out. And after you do that, I will get in contact with you and talk some shop. And I think that is it.
It's $50 for a personal message and $100 for a commercial.
Oh, you got to pay for these guys.
Yeah, they're not free. They are not free.
Oh, my God.
Speaking of not free, gay people in 1994. So let's get into it.
Oh, boy. that was an excellent future of transportation.
Segue.
I get it. So let's get into it with
Thank you, Mr. Cheney.
I couldn't quite unravel these storylines. I did try when I was initially doing my notes. But instead, they're all together in our A/only story. Everyone's got beefcake calendar fever, even the gay guy, not Kyle. Remember Kyle?
Who? Just kidding. Yeah, I remember Kyle.
Can I tell you a secret? When I was
steroid
a kid,
Kyle.
I didn't know the difference. I didn't appreciate the difference that there was a difference between beefcake and beef eater.
Aw.
So whenever somebody said beefcake, I thought they were talking about tomatoes or the Royal Guards.
Uh-huh.
And kind of vice versa. It's very confused about the whole thing until later in life.
Oh, you mean beef steak?
Yeah, huh? Beefsteak tomatoes.
Beefsteak, yeah. All of them, I guess.
So you were confused.
I think there's a beef eater tomato. I'm certainly not one.
All right, let's get into
it. It's like about tomato. It's really long.
Oh.
What?
No.
What? Beef eater, like a hat.
Yeah, okay.
What?
No. Nothing.
What?
Fine.
Did I just walk into like some penis thing?
Yes.
Okay.
And we followed you like idiots.
Stud mania out of control.
Look, guys, I live a sheltered life.
Okay. Can we begin?
Yes.
Fine. Yes. God.
What? Nothing. Valuable insight into what makes me tick.
That's
you don't get that in any other podcast.
All right.
Speaking of Davids who sometimes ruin everything.
Yes.
Eh?
Thank you, Sarah. At the beach.
Hey, you both.
David practices a Mozart's. Hey, we got a hard out. We got to get started.
David!
Thank you.
There it is, finally.
David practices a Mozart sonata pretty ably until it gets to a more complex part. And Donna, sitting nearby with Rocky II, registers her disgust hilariously, which you can see in the visual aids at previously.tv. Show of hands, how invested is anyone in David Silver's piano virtuosity? Sarah?
To note that this sonata is not terribly difficult, and the part that hung him up is not usually, like, it's kind of an average run.
Mm-hmm.
I know it doesn't matter, and I'm sure he had like a piano double, but
you're right,
that was kind of annoying. Also, I was looking at the puppy.
Yes.
And I kind of only tagged back in when I realized that the old pre-drugs bitch David was back. Yay.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's intimidated, gets frustrated by this piece and says to Donna that he's intimidated by all the other music majors at school who are more accomplished than he is, but also offended that one of his professors told him he should take piano lessons. Like, you're not a prodigy. Take a lesson. Which is basically what Donna tells him. And he says this, clip number two.
Blink. That was clip number two. Blink.
All right, fine. One lesson, but that's it. If the teacher gets on my case, I'm out of there.
Yeah, that's how it works when you're trying to learn a skill. What the fuck?
What? That's what teachers do.
For A and B, I'll take one lesson and then that's like, what? No, you can't. You're not. This isn't Groundhog Day. You're not Phil. You can't learn everything you need to know in one lesson that you take over and over again 600 times.
Yeah, get with it, Shine.
Anyway, the dog cocks its head, which rescues the scene, kind of. Moving on, Brandon and Steve are trying to get to a Dodger game, but Brandon's shitty lemon broke down. he spots a coffee house and goes to call a tow truck.
I don't understand why they didn't just call Jim.
Right. God.
Yeah.
running out of a meeting with a client to go and find Brandon on the side of the road. Anyway. He goes to call a tow truck. Left alone, Steve notices a wall of black and white, nude, tasteful photos of men, and that the whole place is full of guys, some of whom are touching each other. Sarah, my esteemed colleague, made a beautiful composite of several of Ian Ziering's faces of horror at recognized as his dawning realization of what is going on here. You can see that in the visual aids. Even more hilarious is what happens next is he spots someone we can tell he recognizes, but we totally do not. Brandon comes back. Steve can't wait to leave in clip number three.
Brandon, we're sitting in a gay coffee house.
You know, it's funny, it doesn't really look any different, except that it's all guys in here.
Right. So let's get out of here before any of them get any ideas, okay?
Steve, will you take it easy? They're not gonna cop a feel over a cup of coffee.
Cop a feel.
Wow.
Brandon, liberal kind of guy, voice of reason.
Well, yeah.
I also love that Ian Ziering's line delivery made it sound like it was a like cafe that only served gay coffee.
Yeah, that's like a good point. So then we cut back to this dude that Steve knows watching Brandon try to calm him down with soothing hands like he's a horse whisperer and draw the wrong conclusion in clip number four.
Brian, what is it?
Just one of the brothers from the cake house.
I thought I was the only one.
Are you going to say anything to him?
Nah, not now. Looks like he's busy.
Okay, this other dude calling this guy Ryan is the only way we know he's supposed to be the keg president from circa all of Steve's problems with John Sears. But originally, Mike Ryan was played by Brandon Douglas, and the last time we talked about why he quit the show, we speculated that it might be because of Class of 96, but I went to IMDb, and his next credit after his 90210 stint was a Matlock in 1995, so I'm afraid I'm going to go ahead and call Gay Panic on this one, why he quit the role and made it have to be recast with this other person. What do you think? Am I crazy?
Yeah, I think you're probably crazy.
All right.
Just because if their way into this is the beefcake calendar, he's not that beefy.
Hmm.
Is he?
I don't know.
I seem to remember him being somewhat, you know, Will Wheaton-esque.
I guess, but he's not skinnier than Brian Austin Green or Luke Perry. They both get into the
Jesus.
Calendar.
Well, we'll get into the fucking bottom feeders they had for every month but July.
Seriously. All right. Well, you can weigh in.
I mean, I'm with that theory. I can't disprove it. It seems unlikely, but I also feel like, you know, these background guys got recast. Like, I'm not sure Artie was always that guy.
I don't think Artie was a character until later in the season. Like, he just didn't exist. But they did have that whole run where it was like, first it was Howard Hamlin seemed to be in charge of the frat, and then it was that other balding guy from Minnesota who was bonding over pool or whatever with Brandon, who Brandon thought was really classy.
I think, oh God, I think I have a note somewhere. I'm not seeing it here, but I was just like, keg presidents are like the drummers in Spinal Tap. Like, this doesn't, you can't keep one in the position. Oh yeah, here it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on.
Go to previously.tv, comment on the forums, let us know what you think if I'm unfairly tarring Brandon Douglas with a gay panic brush. Moving on. At the Peach Pit, the fake sorority minus Brenda are talking about this charity beefcake calendar that Alpha Omega is trying to organize, and so far they've had very little success in booking guys. Andrea suggests Dylan, clip number 5.
Are you kidding?
I know, right? That stick insect has no place in a beefcake calendar. Oh, but that's not what Kelly meant. Clip number 6.
Oh. He was the worst. I don't know, Kel, sort of degrading being treated like a sex object.
Uh-huh.
And you'd know that now. Although I do enjoy Jenny Garth's delivery of Dylan's, I don't know, Kat. Like, yeah. I thought she got like a little bit of her sort of hating Dylan and also being able to imitate him really well.
Yeah.
Good job.
Not bad. So while Andrea steals a fry off someone else's plate and Nat makes a joke about Andrea parking herself next to the grill, which insensitive. Tori Spelling is in the foreground, carefully removing food from her mouth. I'm not kidding. I made a GIF. You can see it in the visual aids. I'm not sure what is going on other than like she had to eat something for one shot and then didn't realize the camera was on her for the next while she's like taking it out. It might be
or
gum.
Or it was take like 48.
Yeah, I don't know. She didn't have the spit bucket handy. Whatever. Steve and Brandon enter, bitching about how much of the game they missed. Donna suggests Brandon for the calendar, and when Kelly goes over to talk to him, he agrees until she mentions the wardrobe, and he makes her admit he'll be photographed in boxers. Brandon then tries to beg off for task force reasons, hilariously. Steve, sitting next to him, offers to do it, but Kelly says she's already got two guys from Keg House and then makes things worse by telling him she's going to put him on the B-list. Cold.
Like the literal B-list.
Yep.
That is the term. Oh, brr.
Meanwhile, these days, Ian Ziering would die to get on the B-list of anything because... he ain't, but anyway.
Yeah, looking up from the F list.
David then goes to meet his piano teacher, who might be a mannequin come to life, but like only halfway. As you can see in the GIF I made, her like her torso does not move, just her arms. It's really weird. And there's some mild stuff before she informs him that she's blind, and he starts to say he couldn't tell on the phone because 7.
I didn't sound like a blind person.
I mean, this whole storyline is a big waste.
Yes.
David's Corey Haim drug face is back. You can hear his tiny boner like zinging upwards in his pants when he sees her, and who cares? We all learned a very important lesson about sight impairment, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Also, the actress is terrible, but I sort of like that the character is not giving him an inch. They're just like, oh, that I didn't sound like a blind person? Mm-hmm. Stupid.
He is excessively.
I may have added that last part.
He's excessively weird about it, which is more evidence, not that we needed it, that David was raised wrong. And she, her name is Holly, tells him to loosen up, finally reaching over to feel what his hands are doing in the part of the piece that's hanging him up. Clip number 8.
Your fingering is all wrong there.
That's what she said.
It's literally beef eater. What she said.
Can I interest you in a beef eater tomato?
Watching her do it correctly one time very fast is all it takes for him to break his block, and then shit gets real smurfy in clip number 9.
You're water skiing on a lake in the mountains. Feel the spray on your face. Hear the wind in your hair. Don't get locked on the page. Look away from it. You know what's coming. Think of something that makes you feel as free as the music.
God. Meth? Was that not the right answer? I'm sorry.
She's doing meth. Anyway.
It's been a while since I took piano.
David is maybe falling in love with her. At the Keg House, Arnie and Keith are bullshitting about the stupid calendar when Mike Ryan calls Steve over to the bar. This version of Mike, by the way, is way more friendly and interested in Steve than Brandon Douglas, the Brandon Douglas version ever was. And when he offers Steve a cappuccino, Steve laughs him off, but Mike can't let it go in clip number 10.
You sure you wouldn't like a cappuccino?
I never touch stuff.
Oh, really? I thought I saw you yesterday having a cappuccino.
Let's get one thing straight. I have never had a cappuccino.
Steve, it's cool. Look at it. You don't know how great it is just to finally realize that I'm not the only one here.
Are you crazy? I was on my way to a Dodger game, okay? The car broke down. I was only in there to use the phone.
Okay. So who was the guy you left with?
It was Brandon Walsh. And he's not gay either.
Hey, you're not gonna tell the other guys, are you?
Hey, Ryan, get over here.
Yeah, what's up?
I got a little theory going. Let's see if it pans out.
Keith can't face the fact that nobody wants to see him in his underwear.
You ever date Leslie Sumner?
Yeah. 5 of the best months of my life. But you know how Leslie is? She's always moving off.
See, what did I tell you? The only guys they ask are Leslie's old boyfriends.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy to forget that this is what it was in university when I was there for most of it.
Yeah.
That there was like this whole whatever. Like I worked for the alternative paper and it was a little like that was different because everyone was out there and we were like next door to the eating club where all the like that was the sort of LGBTQ headquarters on campus at that time, mm-hmm. unofficially.
Yeah.
But it was still that you're sort of like, oh my God, this is like a social hygiene film. But I think it was trying to be that because, I mean, shit is still grim, but shit was really grim back then. Like,
especially in a frat, I have to think that would be yeah. like doubly anxious making.
Yeah. And yeah. then when Steve is the one who knows your secret, it's like, oh shit.
Boy. Yeah. The other way you can tell how long ago this was, not just by the weird conversation around the gay person, is that Steve keeps saying cappuccino.
Yeah. The cappuccino, the gayest of the coffee house drinks.
Yes.
One
true.
Sip will turn you.
Anyway, over Shay Walsh, Brandon tries to justify his body shame by citing his political career again, as though. But the conversation quickly goes south in clip 11.
Oh, I don't know. I think people like their leaders to have the common touch.
Son, Walsh blood flows in those veins. It's time you accepted your destiny. You are a sex symbol.
Unsubscribe.
Oh, God. Shut up, Jim. Also, the idea of Brandon being a leader of anything is hilarious. Like, he's not now. He's not going
to
be.
Oh, yeah. I meant to mention that in a clip or two ago when he's like, he's Brandon Walsh. He's not gay either. And, like, there's no follow-up explanation of who Brandon Walsh is because everybody knows he's the freshman, like, hot rising star of the Task Force.
The Task Force.
I thought that, too. And then later we see them getting ready to play basketball together and it seemed like they knew each other. But Mike just didn't recognize him in the coffee house because he only saw him from the back. I don't know.
Or with his clothes on.
Oh!
They were in a locker room. I'm just saying he would have presumably seen Brandon's tiny nards. I don't know. Actually, Brandon wears 15 pairs of shorts to work out. Excuse me. What That's am I true. Saying?
He does.
He's a never nude.
Dozens of us.
And then Steve is at the door.
What's the matter? Still on the B-list? Better than the she-list.
Oh, wordplay. Homophobic wordplay.
Yeah.
So upstairs, Steve tells Brandon all about Mike Ryan. Brandon, manspreading in his work boots with 40 lifts in them, tries to act secure in his own masculinity. And if you think I'm joking, go to the visual aids and see the proof. When Brandon mildly teases Steve, Steve says that Mike thought that Brandon was gay too, but Brandon doesn't care because he isn't. He cares. He advises Steve to keep Mike secret, but Steve is not so sure in clip 13.
Don't you think they have a right to know?
Well, if it hasn't been a problem so far.
Well, it hasn't been a problem because no one knows.
You know, Steve, you have a real short memory. Do you remember when you almost got kicked out of the fraternity? Wasn't Mike Ryan one of the first brothers to stand up for you?
Yes.
Not that one.
So what are you going to do? You're going to call a general meeting? You're going to make a big announcement? You're going to out him in front of everybody? That's a real nice way to repay him.
wouldn't do that.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
But I will tell you one thing. He makes one move on me. One gesture, one look. He'll regret it.
And the strings agree.
I mean, I guess they had to put that in there, but like, you've been living in the same house with this guy all year. He's not interested. It's okay.
Yeah. That was always the plank in the homophobia platform that I never understood.
Yeah.
Just the assumption that if they're attracted to men, they will be attracted to you. Like, don't flatter yourself.
Especially Steve and his weird shaved chest and pepperoni nipples. He's not interested, trust me. No one is.
I forgot about pepperoni nipples.
Now I'm gay. I'm queer. Thanks, Dino 2-0.
So David is so in love with Holly that he deigns to let her give him a second lesson at his apartment. Kelly and Donna come home to hear David playing. Donna is instantly reticent and jealous to see David openly sitting on a piano bench with another woman. Kelly comes up to introduce herself, but Donna hangs back like an asshole, making shit awkward in clip 14.
Are you alone? I thought I heard someone else.
Yeah, you did. I'm Donna.
She's my other roommate.
Hi.
She gives him a glare that could melt steel. You can see it in the visual aids. It's pretty funny.
Although, but can we, well, we'll talk about it after the next clip. And yeah, the faces are amazing on Tori Spelling in this sequence. But like, are they... Well, never mind. Let's go to the next clip, then I'll inquire.
Okay, so Holly invites them to her recital that night, but Donna comes up with some BS about the calendar and implicates Kelly in it, so they are not going. Then we're in the locker room, as previously mentioned, shirtless Deshaun! Woo! See that? The visual aids. You better believe
thank
it.
Thank you.
Brandon's in the locker room getting ready to play basketball with Mike. They chit-chat about the calendar, and Mike mentions that Steve has been moody lately, and when Brandon says he has a lot on his mind, Mike surmises that Steve totally blabbed Brandon. Brandon does not deny it. But Brandon assures Mike that Steve takes the frat seriously and will not violate a brother's trust, and Mike hopes he's right. He's not.
Outside, Mike is new.
Spoiler alert. Outside the gym, Donna catches up to Deshaun and bugs him about posing for the calendar, and she appeals to his vanity, and it works, but he has a condition in clip 15.
You go out with me.
Go out with you? Deshaun, you know I already have a boyfriend.
Well, I was just kidding. I'll post for your calendar. You don't have to go out with me.
No, wait a minute. I think we should go out. In fact, I think we should go out tonight.
Wait. What about your boyfriend?
I'll tell you about it on the way to Alpha House. Come on, we have to go pick you out an outfit.
Okay, this is the clip that you wanted to hear, so go ahead.
Yes, okay. My question is, when did we see a scene in which Donna and David got back together?
No.
Okay. Why are they back together? David still hates her, obviously.
Yep.
He acted like such a fool that I would be extremely reluctant to get back together with him if I were Donna. It's not like the sex is great. I
mean, right.
Maybe it is in the future. They have no way of knowing.
Yeah.
I just wanted to clarify.
No, it's weird. There's a lot of assumptions being made. I mean, I don't think that David was, I mean, it was shitty the way he said it, like, this is my other roommate. Obviously, Donna did not want to be introduced that way, but I also, you're right, I don't get why Donna's like, you know, I have a boyfriend, because they haven't been doing anything boyfriend and girlfriendly since he got off drugs. So
exactly.
Know.
The other thing I will say is that I hate this whole storyline. I hate any time on TV that's like, I'll just use the X to make Y jealous. Like, that's annoying and it's total contrivance. However, I have always, always loved Donna and Deshaun.
Yeah.
Whenever they are periodically thrown together, they have wonderful chemistry.
They do.
The actors do.
Yep.
And I love, like, later on we find out that she totally briefed him on it and he's like down to help her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, get to David, like, get in David's head.
Yeah.
And they're just so, I don't know, they're really sweet. And I sort of always have shipped them and wish that that had gone somewhere for real.
Yeah, that would have been much better than what actually happened, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Shiz. So then it's a boxer short fitting. Artie teases Steve about what he did to get off the B-list in clip 16.
Artie, give me a break. Does this look like a B-list body to you?
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. You look like the poster boy for Queer Nation. What's that supposed to mean?
Well, it means you chose a pretty stunning looking pair of shorts, Butchie. Where'd you try them on, in the closet?
Well, for your information, I didn't choose these. They were given to me.
He's very sensitive.
Give it a rest, Artie.
Oh, now those are fabulous. Doesn't she look fruity?
Oh my God. Okay, first
of all. Meanwhile, it's 1953, apparently.
Well, the Queer Nation reference is like kind of niche. Like, I don't recall that being a very well-known mainstream group. So if I were Steve and I were wanting to get Artie's goat, I might turn it around on him and be like, how do you know about that, Artie? But
well, that was going to be my next comment. Like, these references come pretty quickly to Artie's tongue, and that's probably not.
Oh,
sorry. He's gross.
Anyway, the reference to Steve looking fruity is more than Steve can handle, and thusly baited, he suggests that if Artie wants fruit, he should look in a market a little closer to home. Artie and his crazy eyes respond, thinking that Steve is suggesting that Artie is gay, but when Steve denies that, Artie asks who he does mean, and then we cut to Mike Ryan and Mike Ryan's pleats and Brandon making their way to the fitting. You can see these pants in the visual aids, by the way. I thought gay guys were supposed to be stylish. Just kidding. But everyone is storming out like the sorority made Mike gay, Artie telling Mike as he stomps past that Mike makes him sick, and bringing up the rear, as it were, is an immediately regretful Steve Sanders in clip 17.
Mike, Artie found out.
Uh-huh. How'd that happen?
Well, you know how Artie is. Just kind of slipped out.
What do you mean it just slipped out? I thought you said I could trust him.
Come on, man, it's your own damn fault. You've been lying to everyone, and why the hell are you still in the closet anyway?
Because of bigots like you.
Yeah, really.
Thanks. Thanks for ruining my life.
And then thanks for the softcore out music. Like, I mean, out music, sorry. Outro.
Yeah. Anyway, all of that is terrible. Steve's an idiot.
And the phrase, like, Artie found out. Like,
I know.
He wasn't digging through files at the Watergate, dickhead. You told him.
He's like a six-year-old, like, oh, the cereal got spilled, did it? How did that happen? Just basically what Brandon says. Anyway, later, Steve is trying to justify his big mouth to Kelly and Donna, who are now fucked for their calendar, and Brandon, who is daddishly disappointed in Steve. In the course of the conversation about shoring up models, Donna lets it slip that she and Deshaun are going out that night. And then that's what's happening. Donna pretends she's still getting ready so that David has to be the one to let Deshaun in and be all weird about it. David acts like he thinks Deshaun is helping her set up for photos, but Deshaun says they're going out. Mood changed. Donna comes out and fawns over Deshaun's beautiful flowers in clip 18.
Oh, Deshaun, you know David, my roommate.
Donna, what are you doing?
Can we put these in water? Deshaun and I really have to get going. Enjoy the recital.
Boom!
Yeah, and she totally whaps the flowers into David, too. Like,
yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And they're a very nice bouquet. You can see that in the visual aids, too. Outside, Donna cracks up at how badly they played David and then tells Deshaun she won't take up more of his time. She tries to let him off the hook for this ruse, but he really wants to go out and suggest bowling. And she's into it, as who wouldn't be. And they mentioned she wants to take him to this place called Osaka Lanes. And when I went to look it up to see if it was still a real place, it was a purple link, which meant I looked this up the last time I watched this episode. I'm a fucking idiot. It looks like it has a different name, but there is still like a Japanese themed, you know, cool bowling alley in L.A. downtown. That sounds pretty awesome. So if you're in L.A., try to check it out. At the keg house, Steve tries to pull Artie aside to talk about the calendar. Apparently, the keg guys are back, but based on Artie's mood, something gross had to happen for them to agree to it. And sure enough, Steve goes upstairs to find Mike's bedroom door badly painted pink. Inside, Mike is packing up all his stuff and getting ready to leave forever. Steve apologizes very sincerely. I will say this for Steve. He is good at being sorry. He's good at fucking up, and he's really good at seeming contrite afterwards.
Well, a lot of practice.
True, but Mike is pissed. Steve thinks everything's going to blow over, but Artie called for a membership meeting to kick Mike out. Steve says they can't do that, but Mike says they won't have to since he resigned. And then clip 19.
Where are you going to go?
Somewhere where I don't have to apologize for being who I am.
Oh. Okay, jeez. Holly, take it easy. I called for that clip because, he wasn't apologizing for who he was, but he, like, the character has to be all things to all people on the queer spectrum, because 90s.
Right.
So he went from, you know, hiding who he was to refusing to apologize for who he is in like 17 minutes.
Yeah.
Bad writing. Not sure why I called attention to that. Anyway, moving on.
Indeed. So David goes backstage at the recital and sees Holly preparing with his headphones on. She identifies him by his cologne, hilariously. And when she lets it be known that she needs a pep talk, he gives her a Smurfy one, addressing her hands directly in clip number 20.
All right, Lefty, we're counting on you, but I know you can do it. And you too, Righty, but remember the most important thing. Always make sure Lefty knows exactly what you're doing. And you too, Lefty.
I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, me too.
Just laughing at Dave shaking his head in disgust at all of that.
I just... Also, I mean, maybe I'm the only one whose husband refers to her boobs, Righty and Lefty. This is kind of a weird sit for me.
Well, now it is for us too. Thanks, Sarah.
Yeah, you're welcome. Now everyone's gay.
Afterwards, David and Holly end up at the Peach Pit on the one night of the year there are zero other members of the gang present. she shows him how to help her serve herself by locating things on the table by the clock points on her plate. And when
it is interminable.
It takes forever. And when she pours some cream in her coffee, he abruptly grabs her hand and proceeds to hit on her badly, as only someone who's had a girlfriend since he was 15 can do, in clip 21.
Your hands are so beautiful.
You
know, sometimes when you're playing, I can't help but look at them.
David.
Tonight at the recital, I really felt a connection. Almost as if you were playing for me.
Music can be a pretty heady experience. Sometimes it brings up emotions that aren't really there.
What are you saying?
David, you're not in love with me. You're in love with my music.
No, it's more than just that. I admire how brave you are. I mean, most people in your situation would give up, but you don't let it stop you. I just want to make your life easier for you.
I'm not a fairy tale princess who needs to be rescued.
Sorry, I didn't mean it that way.
You know, you really hurt your girlfriend's feelings this afternoon.
My girlfriend?
Donna. She is your girlfriend, isn't she?
How'd you know that?
David, I'm blind. Not deaf. Didn't you hear the hurt in her voice when you didn't want to be with her tonight? Do you love her?
Well, we've been together for a long time. We've been through a lot.
Is that a yes or a no? An artist has to know his own heart.
Yeah. Yeah, I love her.
Then maybe you ought to save the sweet talk for her.
Or anyone. Dick.
Also, if an artist comes in, make sure you tell him or her that, because I don't know what this has to do with David.
I don't either.
Whatever.
Where are your balls? 4 o'clock? Because I'd like to kick you in them.
And we never saw her again. Back at the apartment, Deshaun is effusive about how much fun they had at Osaka Lanes, but notes that David is still out. Donna puts on a brave face, but Deshaun tells her about dating girls in Texas who were jealous of his passion for basketball, which, of course, is a parable about Donna letting David enjoy music. At the door, she says she's glad she and Deshaun are friends, and he is too, so it's actually not awkward. While it would have been better if they had ended up a couple, I'm happy that they resolved it this way. Like, he's okay being friends. He's not, like, pining after her, so that's good.
Well, and it's always a problem in these shows that, like, you can't have characters that are just friends.
Yeah.
Just being friends on screen, like, it doesn't, these shows are about plot, and you can't, like, just do that. So it's, I mean, that's why, but I enjoy them.
Yep. Steve then bravely returns to the gay coffee house in search of Mike Ryan and finds him, because Mike is basic, I guess. Mike's coffee pal excuses himself, and Steve sits down to talk to Mike. Mike is very bitter, but he's still got time to read Steve to filth in clip 22.
I think my friend Gary had the right idea. Just cut your losses and run. There's nothing worse than having somebody say, "I told you so."
You mean about the fraternity?
Gary always accused me of wanting to have it both ways. Of course, I always accused him of being afraid to venture outside of Boys Town, so...
This Gary, he's a good friend of yours? What, did I say something wrong?
Usually...
For a few months, Gary was my boyfriend. It's the first one I ever had. That is, till he got fed up with me.
What happened?
I never wanted us to do anything. I was always afraid if we went somewhere, I might run into someone.
I know what that's like.
Oh, you do, huh?
Well, not exactly. But I had this girlfriend, Celeste, and I really screwed that up.
And did you keep her separate from the rest of your life?
That was a big part of it.
Well, there you go. I guess we're more alike than we realized.
That was a plotline for like an episode with Steve and Celeste, so whatever. And that's actually more the Andrea and Dan storyline, really, but whatever.
Yeah. Also, the cheating on her didn't
that,
help.
That too. Steve encourages Mike to come back to the house and promises to have his back. And then it's the meeting. And Artie is Ted cruising it up in clip 23.
Forget about our reputation on campus. Though from now on, whenever they refer to us as a jock house, it's going to have a whole new meaning.
Huh?
No. I say you guys got to think about the future. What kind of pledges are we going to attract? Who's going to show up to join a gay fraternity? And what about our alumni? We can't survive without their donations. What's going to happen when they realize what this fraternity's turned into?
How would it ever come to alumni what's going on at the frat? Like, I'm sure they don't care. I mean, maybe they do.
I don't know. Percentage-wise, like, some of them are gay, too?
Yeah.
Know?
Yep.
I don't know.
Artie moves for a vote, but Steve wants Mike to get the chance to defend himself, and Mike actually gives a pretty decent speech in clip 24.
When I first came here today, I thought I was going to apologize for being so dishonest with you guys. See, I didn't think that I could trust you to see that I am still the same person I've always been. The man you elected president. And then I started thinking about some of the brothers and the history of this fraternity. And I realized I was selling you guys short. I thought about the first African-American pledge that dared to challenge this fraternity's color line. And now we take it for granted. I thought about the first Hispanic brother. And I thought about the first Jewish brother and the first Asian-American brother. And then I realized that the problem isn't really about me being gay. The problem is about people being afraid of what they don't know.
Yeah, well, what I want to know is, how can you compare yourself to them? You're talking about race. I'm talking about sex. Sex with another guy.
Oh!
You're wrong, Artie. This isn't about race, and it isn't about sex. It's about brotherhood. About loyalty. Something you guys pay a lot of lip service to. Is that all it is, lip service? A slogan on a plaque? A secret handshake? Is that what we're talking about?
Metal?
Because if it is, then this fraternity and everything it stands for is a joke.
I mean, I just can't hear the phrase secret handshake without assuming it's a euphemism for a handshake. But
for its circle jerk, totally. Also, this is going on in a room with like people's paddles on the wall.
Yeah.
Okay.
Eh, Anyway, Steve calls for a vote to keep Mike in the frat and as president. Keith bravely seconds, and the group claps, and Artie turns into the new John Sears in clip 25.
That's what you guys want. You can have it.
Oh, Artie, man.
I'll be damned if I'm going to watch this place fall apart.
It's not going to fall apart, Artie. It just isn't, man.
Bye. I assume we never saw him again, but like I barely cared about him to begin with, so you know.
Yeah, exactly. Also, he's 30 years old. It's high time he started on his adult life.
Seriously. And then it's the photo shoot. Brenda and Andrea are there, possibly only to set up this unjoke in clip 26.
This is a real hoot, isn't it?
I don't know why this is taking so long.
And what, the photo shoot?
Oh, the microwave.
Oh.
I have to stop eating so much, but soon.
Oh, sorry, Brenda. I didn't realize you were an obstetrician specializing in gestational diabetes. Oh, you're not? Then shut it. Like, I can't believe. Go ahead.
This is a real hoot.
Yeah.
Why?
Even
Why
sarcastically.
Do you hate her so much?
I know. Yeah. I know that they have to keep talking about how much Andre is eating because otherwise there's no way to explain why a 4-month pregnant person looks like she's 23 months pregnant, but it's mean since she's pregnant for real. Also, that said, there is a honey of a shot if Andrea shoveling noodles into her mouth in the visual aids.
I'm not sorry. It did make me want noodles, though. Those look pretty good.
And when you know it, they end up 2 dudes short for the calendar, and Dylan and David, thank God, not get pressed into service. There's no point talking about it, except that, of course, all of the gang dudes end up in the calendar, and you can see them all in the visual aids. And I will say, since I give him shit all the time, Brandon, all embarrassed with a union suit under his boxers,
that was
kind of funny. It is. I made a gif of him, like, looking all uncomfortable with his hands over his crotch.
And not knowing where to put his, like... Yeah. He's trying to lean, and then he's like, "Yeah, I don't." Yeah. That was a nice piece of business from
it
Priestley.
It's a nice comedic moment to end things on, and Mike gets to be in it too as a construction worker. And hooray, we all learned something about gay people. The end. This dog keeps rearranging himself under the table. Sorry if you can hear dog elbows. That was his head clunking down.
Gordon.
Gently. All right, let's finish this up with our MVP. I want to give it to Donna because she gets to go on a date with Deshaun, but she still stays with David, I guess. So I'm going to instead give it to Deshaun, who is the best.
It is tempting to give it to Mike's coffee friend, who took one look at the approaching Steve and was like, hell no. And Mike moved to another city, basically. But... I'm going to go Deshaun. I mean, his Harlem Globetrotters outfit.
Yes.
Has been in my personal bunk for a pretty long time now. Love that guy.
It's both a GIF and a still photo that you can make your phone wallpaper in the visual aids. You're welcome.
Ooh, good point.
And least valuable player. Artie the homophobe. It's really no competition.
Yeah, no, there's really not. Honorable mention to Steve. Like,
of course, but
zip it. Jesus.
At least Steve was able to be educated in the course of like a day. So he's teachable. That's something.
That is true.
And by default, since Dylan is barely in this episode, let's do the Moo Moo Parker Challenge. 5 ways in this episode Brandon might have ended up dead. Knocked over on the basketball court and trampled by all the other players.
Blood flow cut off to his lower extremities because he's wearing 16 pairs of shorts at one time.
Getting too tired and passing out from the very long walk from the door all the way across the warehouse to the bar.
That wasn't him.
Oh.
That was Mike.
All right. AIDS.
That also wasn't him. Oh, Jesus. Dies of shame from having to wear a union suit.
Dies of shame after his dad says he's a sex symbol. And that makes fun.
Yeah.
Why should I take a back seat? Because I'm a girl?
You shouldn't. It's time for our excerpt from the I Hate Brenda book, Shannon Doherty Exposed, still in the letters to the editor. When I read about the Beverly Hills 90210 bomb scare, I was disgusted. Why didn't it go off? Some people are so incompetent. I felt much better, however, when I heard all about your great I Hate Brenda newsletter. I, too, love to hate Brenda. Indeed, I love to hate everything associated with 90210 and Aaron Spelling's appalling TV shows like Charlie's Angels, The Love Boat, and every other show he's produced. Hey, 90210 is a source of horrified fascination for me. Never before has there been an object of such horrified fascination as Shannon Doherty. Best regards, MD, Healy Beach, Australia. Yikes, shade from down under. End of excerpt.
Oh, next time on Again With This, Andrea hits a wall with being 39 months pregnant. Claire hits on Brandon for some inexplicable and interminable reason, and everyone else hits the casting couch, or do they, when legendary director slash coxman Roy Randolph comes to town. Our visual aids are a cat on a hot tin. Oof. You can check those out at our website, previously.tv, which you can also follow on Twitter, at previouslytv. I'm Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm at Tomato Nation on Twitter. My very authentic co-host, Tara Ariano, is at Tara Ariano on Twitter. And our moving producer, David T. Cole, is at Clark on Instagram. Talk to you next time.
Hi. You know what to do after the beeparoni.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv podcast network.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. It happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.